Second Kings chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 14. Amen. Everybody have it, say amen.
Amen.
Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. And because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, he was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Verse 14 says, then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Amen. Yes. Praise God. We're going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord some praise for his word today.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on.
Praise God. Let's praise him like we know it's victory. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm chosen. Amen. Forgiven. Praise God. I am who he says I am. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We bless you today, Father. We thank you this morning for your grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.
Yes, Lord.
You may be seated. Amen. If the Lord will allow me, I want to minister simply on this thought, but he was a leper. Amen. But he was a leper. Look at somebody and say that, but he was a leper. Praise God. Amen. For the sake of time, I didn't read all of the verses outlining Naaman's story here. Amen. I encourage you to read verses 1 through 14, amen, from beginning to end, amen, of this. But just a quick context of verses 2 through 13, amen. We realize and see in this story that's really familiar to probably most anyone, amen, that's been in church at any length of time. But Naaman had leprosy. Amen. Naaman was a mighty man of valor. He was the captain of the host of, amen, the army of Syria. Amen. Because he had been blessed and anointed to bring victory. Amen. He was honorable among the people. But he had leprosy. His wife's maid, who was an Israelite, their Israelite maid, Bible says the little maid, amen. So we can know that she was a young lady, amen. But she told her about the prophet Elisha. She told his wife, amen, that there was a prophet in Israel by the name of Elisha, and he could heal the leprosy. Naaman got word of this, and he went to his king, amen, which was the king of Syria. And the king of Syria sent a letter to the king of Israel, amen, and he sent Naaman to Israel with money, with a lot of gifts, amen, money, and 10 changes of clothes, the Bible says. Amen. And when Naaman got there with the letter, and the king of Israel read the letter, he was upset. The king of Israel was upset when he received the letter because he said, I have no power like God to heal. I can't destroy. I can't give life. I can't take it away. And I have no power to heal. You see, he thought that the king of Syria was trying to raise a quarrel with him. He thought he was trying to make him look like a fool, that there was no way that he had any. And so any power, the Bible says that he rent his clothes. That's how distraught that the king of Israel was. It was almost as if he was in mourning. But the Bible says that Elisha heard of the king of Israel's despair, and he told him to send Naaman to him. Amen. Now Naaman goes to Elisha's house, and Elisha gives him the instructions on what to do for his healing. Now, Naaman was not happy with those instructions, but he reluctantly obeyed, and he was ultimately healed of his leprosy. Amen. That is the context of verses 1 through 14. Now we're going to go back to those, amen, as we get into the message today. But I want to go back to the beginning, amen, of this story. Amen. When he came to Elisha, amen, we have to understand that Naaman came, amen, and he was prepared for something else other than what he received. When Naaman went, amen, to Elisha's door, he was prepared for something else, but he arrived with an expectation. Now you got a picture of this. Here comes Naaman from his king, an honorable man. So here he comes with a letter from the king. He has gifts in his hand. He has a reputation that is following him of an honorable man. But he was not an ordinary man. He was a commander of the army. He was honored and he was accustomed to being received. But he was a leper. So he had all of this behind him, but he was a leper. This detail made all of the rest of who he was stand still. So everything that Naaman was, an honorable man, a commander of the army, one who was used to being received by people, one that was used to getting, the appropriate attention, one that was used to getting what he expected. All of who he was had to stand still because of the leprosy. It couldn't be removed by his status. It didn't matter, that he was a commander of the army, that he had great victories behind him, that he was honorable in the sight of the king and the kingdom and the people of the kingdom. It didn't matter, that he was well known, because none of this was able, to take away his leprosy. So he was not an ordinary man. All of this status that he had could not remove the leprosy. So he went to Israel seeking healing and seeking relief. So imagine his mindset that when he got there, his expectation was that this is about to be over. But he had an expectation of how this was going to take place. And that's what I need us to look at for just a moment this morning. Because you and I too, as we walk in our relationship with the Father, as we are in covenant with him and we are told of all of the blessings and all of the things that are promised to us, as we put our faith in the covenant of God, as we talked last week about all the work that Jesus did, that he finished and completed everything that God required of him to make the covenant, applicable to all Jew and Gentile. We have that expectation, but how many times do we come with the expectation of something happening in a specific way, only to find out that it doesn't happen that way? Only to find out that the blessing described does not come to pass in the way that we perceived it. So you have to understand Naaman's mindset. He's covered in leprosy, which was a disease that made him an outcast. It was a disease of the time that would have had him shunned. This man that had fought many battles, this man that had won a great victory for his kingdom, this man, that was well received when he walked in the public and when he went into, the king's palace, he didn't have to ask permission for a lot of things because he had those rights because of who he was, the commander of the army. And now he is stricken with this leprosy. That not only is painful, not only is wreaking havoc on his body, but it's also causing havoc in his mind. Can I tell you that our Creator created us, that our physical and our spiritual is connected? So when something's going on in the physical, it will affect the spiritual. And when something is going on in the spiritual, it will demonstrate or manifest itself in the physical. This is why worry and anxiety and stress can cause ulcers, cause migraines. It can cause all kinds of things, to happen in your body. And oftentimes when we take care of the spiritual part, the physical goes away. Come on, somebody. Can you hear me in this place? And reverse that, when we get a physical healing or relief, then we can have peace in places in our spirit. So the mind begins to think. So here's Naaman. no longer received, at the point that he's going to be shunned and done away with. So all the victories behind him and all the status that he had did not matter, because he was a leper. And even though we have victory behind us and we have all of these promises written, spoken, are you hearing me today? I feel the preacher quicker than I expected. Amen. But we have all of that going in, amen, to bring ourselves before the Lord. Amen. None of those things, amen, matter when it comes to the moment that we're dealing with what we're dealing with. And we go in sometimes with an expectation on how that it happened in the past. We got breakthrough in this way, and we got victory in that way, and we got healing this quickly, and we've seen this, and we've seen that, and we have felt this, and we have felt that. But now we're going in, and it's different. It's almost as if the door has been closed, and God is saying, I'm not going to do it in the way that you expect. He didn't say that he wasn't going to fulfill his word in your life. He just said, it's not going to be the way that you expected. So I come this morning to tell you to expect the unexpected. And I'm not in a positive way. I'm not being negative, but not in the way that we're used to. But it just might not happen the way that you perceive it to happen. But no, nonetheless, it doesn't change the Creator's love and God's power over your life. Touch somebody and tell them, God's got you. God has got you. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place this morning. So here he comes. Think about this again. None of this could be removed by his status. So he went. And when he got to Elisha, something unexpected to happen. First of all, Elisha never even came out to meet him. Imagine the level of disrespect. Come on, somebody. You know how we feel when the Lord don't show up when we think he ought to. That old age question, where are you, God? Where are you? When we have an expectation that he's going to show up, because we hear that he showed up right away for Brother Joe and Sister Sally and all of the others. Come on. So first of all, Elisha never even came out to meet him. He sent a messenger. The audacity. God will send someone to you.
Well,
you may not even like.
Come on.
I heard a testimony of someone this week of how they were in a place, and they were in a place with the little C church. You know what I'm talking about when I say that? The capital C church is the body of Christ. The little C church is the organized religious system that we have created in the Western culture. I'm tired of little C stuff too.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
But he was hurt by that. And he had been disappointed by in his wife by those, and he was a young man, he wasn't old, but he'd been disappointed in his wife by those who had called themselves prophet and all those kind of things. And he had this person, this woman was reaching out to him, amen, and he would not answer her text because he didn't want to deal with it. And she texted him again, and he, what we say, ghosted her, right? He never even replied. And so finally she called him, and he didn't recognize the number, he gave up the phone. And she said who she was, and he said, I was sitting in my car in the driveway and thought. And the word that she gave him was exactly what he's doing right now in his life. It was God specifically telling him the direction and spoke to him about where he was, and he couldn't deny it. So you see, sometimes God will send people we don't even like to speak into our life. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? So he didn't even come to the door, but he sent a messenger. Let's look at verse number 10, 2 Kings 5 and verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to you, and you shall be clean. Simple instructions. A no-brainer, right? Go wash 7 times. Well, if that's all it takes, we're thinking now, right? Some of the stuff you're going through. Look, if they're going to get me out of my seat, then I'd go wash 21 times.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right? Come on. Yes. Are you hearing me? So simple. Yet it was so difficult for someone like Elisha. Are you hearing me? Amen. So simple, yet difficult. Why? Because there was no ceremony or visible act of power involved.
Come on, come on. Oh, Lord.
It wasn't going to confirm his status. Stay with me. It wasn't going to confirm who he felt he was. And rightly so. It wasn't that who he knew he was and where he was not valid. Are you with me? It was just not going to bring his healing. Just washing in water, and even in, not in a distant place, but in the Jordan River. Elisha is like, what? Naaman's response was anger. Let's look at verse 11. But Naaman was wroth, and he went away. Now get this, he walked away. So imagine the messenger coming out, telling him this, and he's cussing and fussing, and turns around and just storms away. Behold, I thought, first of all, he would surely come out to me.
Right.
If he would at least see who I was,
yep.
And recognize my position, surely he would tell me different. Come on, somebody. You know how many times that you have thought, well, I'm just as good as that one and this one, and I come to church, and sometimes I come more than they do. Come on. That's that little seed thinking, right? And God's moving for them, and they're blessed as it, but here I am. God doesn't even see me. Are you hearing me? He would surely come out to me and say it and call on the name of the Lord, his God, strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Because a prophet and even a king, when they would reach out their hand, it was tradition, it was a blessing. The reaching out of the hand and putting over, amen, the person was a sign of blessing. So in his mind, he thought, in order for me to even get healed, here you go. He came with an expectation of how it was going to happen. And God said, it is going to happen. If I'm going to heal you, it's going to have to be my way and not your way.
Come on, well.
Are you with me? So he was just a bit ticked off. So we now know he expected something else. He imagined a process that matched his position. Help us, Jesus. I know some people in positions that believe God should bless them and should make them known because of their position. So the process didn't match his position. Something very visible and proportionate, he thought, should have been given. So in other words, everyone around, there should be the right people around to see it. They want to see the prophet, and they want to know that he was cared enough and loved and esteemed enough to be blessed, and that it had to be proportionate to his status. But instead, the instruction he got was very ordinary. The river even became part of his objection. So it wasn't enough that Elisha didn't come out, and it didn't happen the way that he thought. But let's look at verse 12. Are not Arbada and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? All the waters of Israel? Isn't it funny that he's coming to Israel to get healed, but the waters of Israel are not worthy enough for his presence?
Oh my goodness.
Think on that for a little bit. Help us, Jesus, to lose our pride. Help us, Jesus, to humble ourselves before you, to say, not my will, but thy will be done. However you want to do it, in whatever manner that you want to do it. May I not wash in them and be clean. He's talking about the rivers of Damascus. Amen. Where he came from. This is Syria. He said, may I not wash in them and be clean. So he turned and went away in a rage. You've got to understand how angry Naaman was. He was livid that it would happen this way. So this was not an easy thing for him to grapple with. Can I get a witness in this place? Some of you are dealing with some stuff in your life right now that's got you in that place. I'm not saying that you're angry with God, but you're at that place where you're struggling to grapple with how it all will work out and manifest, and how the glory of the Lord can be revealed, and how this can be God's will, and why this isn't that way, and why isn't this happening, and how is it like this, and how can that person do this, or how can that person be that? How can it be this way? How long is it going to last? Why hasn't it changed up before now? Why am I not good enough? Am I not worthy? Is there something? Maybe I'm not the child of God that I believed I was. Are you hearing me? Amen. Praise God. Understand today. Hallelujah. His resistance wasn't just the act, but what it represented. It didn't represent him well. Because you see, the Jordan was not an impressive body of water. It was very unappealing. As a matter of fact, the Jordan could oftentimes be murky and muddy, if I can say it like that. There were times that the Jordan River even dried up. And so a person would have to wait for the rain and the provision to come to bring it back up to a level. We'll preach on that another time. Come on, when things dry up. But think about all that has happened in the Jordan. When you look at the Jordan, I remember years and years and years ago. Some of you remember Sister Witt. I remember a lot of messages she preached, but I remember a message she preached about footprints in the Jordan. And how the footprints that were there in the Jordan led up to Jesus being able to walk in the Jordan when John baptized him. And he openly declared, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And the heavens opened, and God the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And the dove representing the Holy Spirit came down and descended on him and birthed, amen, the ministry of Jesus on earth for the next 3.5 years. Amen. When you think about what went on in the Jordan, even though it may dry up, there's things in the presence of the Lord that can't be taken away. Just because the water isn't there doesn't mean the breakthrough isn't. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? So the Jordan wasn't a river that everyone talked about. Amen. It was Israel's river. It was the Jews' river. They have a lot of stories about the Jordan, but they didn't have stories, amen. Amen. They weren't known among the other people. Praise God. So you understand Jordan, the Jordan wasn't very appealing, amen. The command wasn't elevated enough. Come on. Amen. Are you hearing me today? None of it lined up with what he thought the healing should look like. Because I did a little research on the Abana and the Pharpar rivers, amen, that were in Damascus at this time. Now Damascus, amen, is now Syria, and all of this where we are today, amen. But even today, but at this time, amen, they were a vital water source toward Damascus. Amen. And here this in my spirit, I felt it, but I was like, I don't want to say it until I look it up. But the waters of Abana and Pharpar were clear waters. So you could see through them. Amen. They were clean. Amen. And you could see down below. And they were always in abundance. They never dried up. And they were a water source. So they were considered a place of blessing. So if he would have been asked to dip in those rivers, it would have been a greater symbol of his status. Because only those who matter would get to be in the life of a water source. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk about another water source here in just a minute. This is where we're all, where this is leading to. Amen. Praise God. But these were clear waters. Amen. And they were known to contribute to fertility and prosperity. So surely the healing would have been in those waters and not the muddy waters of the Jordan. Can I get a man a witness? It did not line up. But here's where the details begin to carry some weight. Hallelujah. Touch somebody's head. About to get heavy. Hallelujah. This is where the details begin to carry some weight. He told him to dip and wash seven times. Now, the Bible never does come out and tell us, explain in detail, amen, or there's not a scripture that I know of anyway, that tells us that the number seven means something specific. But when we look from Genesis to Revelation, and we see the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our Creator Father, and we see all of the times that he is connected to the number seven, we're going to begin to see a pattern. And then we can say, seven means something to God when it's connected to the supernatural and the spiritual. So we now can look at that and say, because if you know, you know. You know, I-Y-K, Y-K, is that right? I-Y-K, Y-K, if you know, you know. Amen. So if you know, you know. Now we can look and know all seven times. That meant God was going to complete it. He had to do that for completion. But he did not know that at the time. He did not know that seven times meant completion. Are you hearing me? Amen. You see, we may not know, amen, what God is doing. We may not see the glory of the matter and the weight of why we have to go through what we go through until it's all over. And sometimes we may not ever see it, but I'm telling you, somebody that comes behind us is going to understand. Surely the Lord was in that. Surely the Lord, just like we don't see the name of God anywhere in the book of Esther, but we see his hand working and moving and weaving all out throughout it. And now we can look and say, certainly it was God who delivered his people. I need you to touch somebody around you and say, certainly God, surely God. Hallelujah. We see it now. We see now that to God, seven is a full action and a completed process. But then he didn't know. He was not told to attempt it. I preach about that next Sunday. He wasn't told to attempt it. He was told to complete it. So many times we get halfway there. And we get lax. And we get weary. And we doubt. And we become fearful. Just like Taylor was talking about. Amen. Hallelujah. Where do you think that notion came from? Hallelujah. That notion that when you go, amen, and they're not going to find the baby's heartbeat, it's not going to happen. Where do you think that notion came from? It came from hell. It came from darkness. It came from fear. Amen. It came from anxiety. Amen. And there may not necessarily be, oh, help me, Jesus, a specific spirit of fear. But I can tell you there's fear attached to every demon and every spirit of darkness. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not saying the reason to raise my point is, amen, it don't have to be that specific spirit. But if it comes from the enemy, what did he do to Eve in the garden? He put fear in her that God was withholding something from her. And that there was more that she could have. therefore she bit on it and she took the bait. You don't have to believe that God has not withheld anything from you. Do you not understand that Jesus finished it all? Everything that God had to offer was completed. It is finished. It is done. Do you understand that today? Some of you don't, but I want you to.
Yes.
He's not trying to withhold anything from you. He's trying to bring something to you.
Yeah.
That something is a deeper revelation of his love and mercy in your life.
Yeah.
Ooh, hallelujah. He's your loving, creating Father.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. He wasn't told to attempt, but rather to complete. Hear this one now. This is where we all get weary. It required repetition. When you prayed, pray again. When you trusted, keep trusting. When you praised him, keep praising. When you're weary from lifting your hands, lift your hands again. It's that one more time that might bring somebody to be here. When you think it's over, say it ain't. One more time. Oh, come on. It ain't over till he says it's over. We sing that song, I don't know who told you. Amen, that it's time to quit. I don't know who told you that it's over, but it ain't over till God says it's over. Somebody say it ain't over. You say, how can you say that? Because this message is coming to life today. It ain't over. Hallelujah. And when it's finished, when it's completed, when the full action, the seven times, if you will, is done, God will be the focus and not you and I.
Come on. Come on.
It required repetition. But I was thinking, with each repetition, the opportunity to stop remained. Each time he washed, dipped, the opportunity to stop was there. He could have done it once and walked away. You know how tempted he was. I'm thinking that he may have come to the conclusion if he thinks like, a human who's born rebellious. It comes natural. Look at them cute little pretty babies. For 1 minute, oh, the next thing I just gotta walk away.
Lord, yes.
Right?
Help us now.
Yeah.
It's easy to walk away when they're yours. When somebody else's, you walk away, but you're like, that was mine.
Oh, yeah.
What? If it was yours, what?
Yeah.
Come on. Because you get to a point where you're like, why? But I can imagine him going down the first time and then looking at his skin. First of all, I got to thinking, I wonder if he stripped his clothes. Because he had his uniform, I'm sure. He came in his status clothes. I wonder if he got in with his clothes or if he stripped down to his undergarments. I don't know. I'm like, did he think, well, if I'm going to get in this water, I'm not going to get my clothes.
Come on,
somebody. That'd have been me, I can tell you. I would have been one that stripped down to my underwear. So I can't believe you're saying underwear.
It is what it is.
Undergarments. Theirs wasn't that like ours. So I would have been, I ain't getting my suit in there. That's my favorite thing. Or that. That's the only suit I got. That's my favorite color. But I can imagine him dipping one time and looking to see if there was any change. Any visible change, and there wasn't. No change. Then we know that he could have went halfway. He could have dipped three times. There's no three and a half, so three times. Three times, four times. He could have dipped four times and stopped and said, you know what? This is stupid. I look like an idiot. Here I am, commander of the Syrian army. And I have defeated other kingdoms and other armies. And what if somebody walks by and sees me washing myself in this muddy water? Come on, somebody. You know, deep in our hearts, we worry about what somebody thinks. As much as it doesn't matter to me what people say. There is a core part of all of us, and it matters. It makes a difference. All of us want to be liked. Nobody wants to be disliked. I don't know if my work will ever watch this. My boss and one of my managers was ranting about, you know, how nobody in the area where we work will go above and beyond or come help her because they're adding things onto. And I walk in the kitchen. And there's only five men. The rest are women. But anyway, I'm walking in. I didn't hear what they were saying. I told them, look, I have all girls. Even my dogs are female. So anything y'all say and do doesn't faze me. It doesn't. I don't need it just because they're like, oh, I'm sorry. I don't even know what you said. Wait. I don't mean that. I don't pay. But you know what I'm saying? And so a few minutes later, I go back in, and my manager comes up and says, I just want you to know what you heard me say. I wasn't talking about you. She says, as a matter of fact, I told my boss that Jeff's the only one that will come and help me if I ask. And I said, I didn't hear what you said. Right now I feel stupid. But because we care, because she was upset, because my boss was ripping her. And she was upset, so her response was that. And then she realized when I came in the second time that I was there the first time. And she was like, she didn't want me to think that she was talking about me, you understand? And that's my point. We all have a need or a desire just to be liked. And so I can imagine him feeling that way. But he could have sunk halfway and all of the things that could have convinced him to not keep going. But the command required continuation until the end. There's somebody to say, just hold on. Just hold on. If God has spoken a word, it will come to pass. Amen. His servants spoke up. Look at verse 13. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And his servants came near. This is when, remember, he was angry. And spake to them and said, my father, if the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather than when he says to be washed and be clean? In other words, dude, that's nothing. All you got to do is wash or suffer. Stay in it or obey. Oh, that's what I'm saying. Stay in it or obey. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But he was a leper. Amen. Praise God. But amen. He had to be. What is he? The question exposed something. Amen. Naaman had to be willing to do what was hard if it appeared worthy. If it was worthy and it appeared to be worthy, he would be willing to do something hard. But he resisted what was simple because it didn't appear worthy.
Come on.
Amen. You hear me? He resisted the simple thing because it didn't appear worthy. When he went down, amen, and he entered the Jordan and washed, Not once, not twice, not three times, not four, not five, not six. But he went down the seventh time, and he completed what he was told. The healing came. Amen. In the end, not in the beginning or halfway. It came in the end. So I'm telling you, be not weary in well-doing. Amen. I know it sounds cliche, and there's times when you're going through it, and when you've been going through it for a long time, you get tired of hearing, be not weary in well-doing, or in new season you shall reap if you faint not. You think, how long have I got to do well? Where's my harvest? I get it. I understand. I know it. And I don't say that for it to be cliche, but I say that because it is the word of God. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't relinquish. Don't quit halfway. Don't go down six and a half times, but go down seven times. And God will complete what he has begun. Hallelujah. It came at completion. See, the instruction wasn't about the water itself. So many times we focus on the water. Are you hearing me? So many times we focus on the how.
God, help us.
Help me, Jesus. But it came, and it didn't come, amen, through status, expectation, or even negotiation. Oh, that breaks for a minute. How many times we try to negotiate with God? All right, God, I'll do this, but do I have to do that? It didn't. The healing didn't come. Amen. It wasn't the water that brought his healing. You see, what his focus was on, the clean, pure, life-giving water. But God said, I'll show you it ain't the water.
Come on. Yes.
Help me, Jesus. And I understand that little seed hurt is a real thing. But your healing ain't in the little seed.
No.
Your healing is not in or from the people in the little seed. Your healing is from the word who is the foundation of the big seed.
Yes.
Come on, somebody, help me in this place. Oh, do you hear me? Are you understanding me today? Praise God. It ain't the water that brings the healing.
Come on.
Oh, hallelujah. But it came through his obedience to what was spoken over him. I think I said it last week. I know I said it in our Bible study that we were studying faith. And up until that point, until moving into this study and meeting before the Bible study, studying a little more and different in faith and seeing, you know, I used to think it was my faith or my level of faith that did or didn't do something. And God spoke to me during this study, and he said, your faith doesn't heal. My word does. It shifted my whole perspective. Because there's not an amount of praying, fasting, doing, praising, showing up, being, preaching, singing, teaching that I can do that's going to cause anything supernatural to happen. My obedience in my showing up, singing, preaching, oh God, you hear me, will increase my faith, and that will produce fruit that will manifest the supernatural things of God. But at the end of the day, the core of it is my obedience to what? His word.
Yeah.
Because hearing comes, right? Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
What do you hear? The word. That's what's going to change it.
Yeah.
So his healing didn't come through his status or any kind of expectation for his negotiation. It didn't even come through the water. It came through his obedience. So the emphasis was on the word given and his response to it. Now this pointed to the truth that healing would come again. Now we're going to get in 2026. Because we know Naaman was healed, right? When he came up the seventh time, go back to verse 14. Then he went down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. His flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So verse 1 said he was all of this. He was a commander, honorable man of valor, but he was a leper. Verse 14, amen, says, but he went down, did what God said, and he was clean. So he was a leper. Now he was clean. Are you hearing me? But he was a leper. But when he obeyed and he listened to the voice and the word of God over him, he became clean. He was still a man of valor and a man of honor. And the commander never stripped anything away from his status. Now I gave you the testimony. Amen. Declare to Elisha, surely your God. Come on. Are you hearing me? Because the water didn't heal him. It was his obedience to the word of God, and the word of God healed him. But this is going to point, amen, forward to the truth that healing would come again, but not through a ritual, but now through a person. And you know, I was saying too, Elisha didn't heal him.
No.
And that's listed as one of Elisha's miracles. But Elisha never touched him. Get that. Elisha never even looked at him.
Right.
Elisha, all Elisha did was give the word. The word is what healed the man.
Yeah.
Not Elisha. That'll preach and teach another time too. We attribute too many, amen, manifestations and fruit to the person instead of to God.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? But this time it wasn't going to come through a ritual, but through a person. Not through repeated washing, but through one who would make people clean with a word. You figured out who that person is yet? It's not hard. It's not a trick question. It was Jesus. It wasn't going to come through going through the motions and praying enough and fasting enough. Are you hearing me? It wasn't going to come through all of these rituals. Now God does things. If he told me to go dip seven times, I just have to go dip seven times. You have a reason and purpose for doing what, for having us do what we do.
Right.
Most of the time, it's for our benefit, not anyone else.
Right.
God spoke to me one time years ago at this big church, and we went and visited revival, and it was Sister Lynn preaching. As a matter of fact, out of town. Amen. I told you guys, I was way more backward than I am now. And the Lord spoke to me to get on my hands and knees and crawl around that building. I said, I'm not doing it.
Nope.
I did. I said, I'm not doing it. I don't know these people. These people don't know me. And my first thing, if I would see someone that I didn't know who visited my church for the first time, crawling on their hands and knees, I would think. Am I right?
Yeah.
You'd be like, God kept saying, I'm asking you to crawl. I'm telling you I'm not. I wrestled with that. I don't know how long. Minutes. Not 2 or 3. 10, 15, 20 minutes. And they just kept singing. I never wanted to sing at the end so much throughout my life. Because I surely wasn't going to do it when there wasn't when there was nothing going on. At least while everybody's standing up, they may not notice me as well. Seriously, I'm telling, why do we think all this? And I'm telling you, the feeling that came over me because I was being resistant, I'm like, oh my God. I got out of my seat. I've never done this again. I started crawling around that, and it's a big church. place, a big church. I'm like, and all of them praising God. I was going to tell you, I wasn't going to thank Jesus. You know, I wasn't going to come. I was like, oh. I look like a fool. What are these people going to say about me? And I don't know what they said, but I did. And I can tell you, it wasn't for the people. It was for me. Because I said, God. They showed me I'm full of pride, and I cared more about what people thought than what God. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's good preaching. You're right. Amen.
Yeah, it is.
Joyce, right. Amen.
You'll do it. You will.
My point is we don't always. It doesn't always come. And it wasn't going to be through some repeated washing, but through one who would speak a word and bring healing. He said he sent his word and it healed them. But we still see the same tension remain, even though they weren't asked to dip seven times. And they were asked them because people expected something greater and more visible, something more fitting to their understanding and expectation. See, what was given was often simple. Either go, come, and believe.
That's it.
Go, or come, or just believe. No dipping seven times. No doing all this, but it still wasn't enough. Because it didn't match their expectation. I love that Jesus said 99.9% of his healings on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Because it did not match the expectation of the Pharisaical mindset and religious attitude.
Yeah.
Why did Naaman resist? Because it seemed too small, and others would resist for the same reason. Because it just seemed too simple. Why do we make things so hard? We do. Why do I make things so hard? I take that said that to myself many times. Why do you got to make things so difficult? Right? God simply says, come, believe. But just as Naaman's cleansing came, not through the river itself, but through trusting the word spoken to him, so also the greater cleansing wouldn't come through what seemed impressive, but it would come through Jesus, who was that living water. Amen. That would never run dry. That would never go away. That would never need supplemented from somewhere else. But it was a river that once you drink of that water, you will never thirst for that again. When their focus was on the water, Jesus just said, believe. And it wasn't going to come because the act was great. How many times did Jesus tell them, don't go broadcasting it? Don't go making a big spectacle about me. Very seldom did he say testify or go tell. Are you hearing me? But because the one who spoke it was already great.
Yeah.
He was already that word in flesh. And in that sense, this story not only showed how Naaman was healed, but it showed how God would continue to work, not by meeting everyone's expectation, but calling us to trust what he said. And I believe there's some people here today struggling because what you expected, your expectation of what is going on is not where you thought it would be. But God has sent me, but he was a leper. But when he trusted what God said, he was clean.
Yeah.
When he trusted enough to obey it, complete it all the way from beginning to end, he was clean. The process to our breakthrough may not look like our expectations. I can say that right now, unequivocally, in this season that I am in, this process has not looked like what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
To the point that I'm not expecting anything.
Right.
Yes.
Of God. I went somewhere this past week to an event, and I had four people come up to me and say, "So where are you moving to?"
We don't know.
And I went, "I don't know." And their whole count was weird.
Why don't you know?
When you gotta move? Well, probably June. Do you have any idea where you're going?
No.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. I always get the sheep fan. I always get this. It's not like, bless your heart. I'm praying for you, Pastor Jim. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll take your prayers, but don't feel sorry for me.
Right.
And that is always, well, what are you going to do if you don't have somewhere to go by June? I don't know. Then they asked me that at work if my boss didn't come up to me on Friday and ask me the same question. And you take a heathen, ask you that, and you're like,
oh. Right.
And then somebody said, "Your house." I'm like, "Uh-oh, I have a house."
I don't know.
Good word. That doesn't mean I don't pray about it. That doesn't mean that I'm not human. There are moments when anxiety will be like, and if I think deeply enough on it.
Trust the Lord.
My gut starts seizing, and I'm like, But then I think, you know what? I am not going to waste my peace on something that I cannot control.
Right.
I'm not going to waste my peace. There's enough things that try to suck the joy out of life, and I'm not going to do it.
Nope.
I trust you, God. Then you come and they cut the lines to the AC.
Right.
One thing to find out. Derek comes up to me.
Comes
in the office and says, "I'm really angry right now." You know Derek. He can be angry and be like, "I'm really angry right now." No, like me, I'll be like, "Oh." So he comes in, he's like, "I'm really angry right now, and you're going to be angry when I tell you what I'm going to tell you." Okay? Because we discussed that somebody had messed with that thing. It's the old, and I told him, I said, "Yeah, I saw that, but they can't get nothing out of there. So I need to go look at it." He said, "You know?" I'm like, "Yeah." He said, "I went and looked a little closer. They've cut the lines to the units, AC units." And I was like,
Derek's like, "You're going to be mad when I tell you."
I was like, "Oh, I can't stand the thief." Right?
Yes.
I'm like, "Jesus, help me." I'm like, "You know what? Still tell everybody, great, that's fine. They cut the lines, no AC. Suck it up, but a couple of lines later."
It's like, "Well, I'm not free."
We're all in this together. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, I told half the worship team, I'm like, I'm turning around, I was going like this. Chris is like, "You okay?" "No, I'm not okay."
But I will be.
Somebody cut the lines to the AC, that's why it was so blue and hot here last Sunday. Because listen. Linda, I'm about to finish. It was cold this morning, right? 89 degrees. Craziness, right? So I come in here, and it felt like the air was on 20. So I thought, the people that come for Sunday morning, I don't want them to be cold. So I kicked the heat on just enough to get the chill out.
Thanks for thinking of us.
For all of you freezies. And I was like,
me and Jetty do.
I just left it 49 degrees in here.
Yeah, buddy.
At least I wouldn't have gotten out of it, you know, it's already. Then you bring the video, and I'm like, Jesus. It just is what it is. You gotta laugh. Right? Crying ain't gonna change the thing. I don't know. They're going to cut it anyway. They're going to tear the whole thing down. So I'm like, you know, that's one less thing they got to cut. Bless the Lord. I don't know. Praise God. So the meeting I leave today, I'm going to think about the person that sold that. I'll be like, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and God. You know what I'm saying? But there's we can't, our expectations, it may not be clear, and it may seem muddy like the Jordan. And I heard the Lord say that for some people that's going to be here today. Right now, things aren't real clear, and it's murky like the Jordan was. And it doesn't look like God is doing anything in that water. While you're in it, you don't see. You know, if you would have been in at least the clear water, would have been more refreshing. But you're splashing murk, right? How many of us feels that way sometimes? That everything you do is just putting stuff like, is anything even remotely breaking through? But God is simply asking us today to trust his word. He had all of those things going for him, but he was a leper, and nothing that he did or accomplished could change what only God could change. And when he trusted God's word and done it to completion, endured to the end, he was clean. When he came up, can you imagine? I was thinking, when he went down the sixth time and he came up and there was still no visible change, that would have been easy to give up.
Yeah.
You would have been like, what's one more time going to
do? Right.
Because his mind that was that the healing was in the water.
Right.
But then when he went down, he's like, what have I got to lose? Yeah. That's what I'm out now, hey.
Right.
Just go with the flow. Where it leads, you go. Right? No, I'm not saying that we just nonchalantly, you know, whatever. We pray and we do and we trust and we listen and we come say, do you get what I'm saying? But I got to take it out of my hands.
Right.
Out of my mind.
Right.
But trust God. Mm-hmm. Then when he went down that seventh time and he came up and his flesh was like a newborn baby. He wasn't just healed, he was restored. That means any blemish that he had before the leprosy, any scars, any sores, anything. Are you hearing me? That's what the living water will do.
Amen.
He won't just heal what you're going through, he'll restore everything that you have done or promised about being healed. And it was as if, can you imagine how many battle scars he had? How many scars he had from that, but when he came up, his flesh was like a newborn baby. And after that, hallelujah, that makes me want to shout. God, do what you got to do. You restore, you will deliver. I will get back to you in a year. Come on, somebody, what the king of the Lord has this word, I will give it back just as if it had never happened. God's going to make every star, he's going to make every battle, he's going to make every tear you shed, he's going to make it count, it's going to be worth it, it's going to make it worth it. You can hear me today. You just got to trust his word.
Amen.
So the view today is that you're ready to come to the music where everything looks muddy, murky, it's not clear. I want to encourage you today. But Naaman was a leper. Yet when he obeyed the word of God over his life, he was clean.
Yeah.
But he was a leper. But he was clean. Look at how it started and look at how it ended.
Right.
Look at all the stuff in between. He didn't get it right. Verses 2 through 13, he acted like a child.
Right?
Right? Like we do. Mm-hmm. Huffing and puffing, mad, angry. We may not even say it out to other people, but we're in the car, man. Right?
Yeah.
When we're by ourselves, and when we got time to think, we're thinking all these things, right? While the enemy's lying and convincing us that God's withholding something from us. And in all actuality, he's just asking us to trust him and be obedient to that word. As you stand with me across this place, I don't know what you're dealing with. I know what something you are dealing with, but I don't know what has you in the place that some of you in here are this morning, where things are just not clear. And the process to your breakthrough isn't looking like you expected it to. Sometimes in the process of the breakthrough, we lose things that we held very dear to us. Sometimes we get disconnected from connections that we felt gave us a source of life. Sometimes we get relationships annulled and broken in the process of our breakthrough, that we're a comfort zone and a place of refuge for us, only to feel like we've lost instead of gained, and we're alone, more alone than we are surrounded. I feel that for somebody today. And God's saying, it's not always about how faithful you are, or how much you preach, or you talk, or you've sung, or you've led, or you've done. All of that should have been out of obedience. At the end of the day, that holds no water when it comes down to it. But there are times when it is simply trust my word. So today, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I challenge you today. I challenge you to trust Jesus. I challenge you to trust him with your life by surrendering who you are, who you want to be, your sin, your will to him, and asking him to come into your life. If you're here today and that's you in the murky, muddy water, maybe you've been looking for the healing in the water, and you now realize the healing's not in the water, it's in the word that sent you to the water. If you're here today, you're in that place, this message has resonated with your heart in any way, you would like us to pray with you. I want you to come. If you're here today,